Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hot teams.
That ass is so hot right now.
Hot quarterbacks.
Jeez, look at the butt on that.
And hot takes.
Yeah, he must work out.
This is Danny and Dusty on Conference Championship Week.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
Oh,
hi. The Fan.
Adam 3 here on Danny and Dusty. Whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. And because it is a Thursday, and I'm an idiot, it's time for us to get our picks in for this weekend. Championship weekend in the NFL. Commanders and Eagles, round 3. Bills and Chiefs, round 14.
Minerals, vitamins.
Gotta love it.
Jalen Clark is white.
Coming into this week, I went 1-2-1, another push.
As did I.
Jeff Rust, how did you do?
I was a couple of missed Jake Elliott extra points away from going 4-0, so I wound up 3-0-1.
Oh. Well, in that case, good sir, you get to lead us off.
Congratulations, Rust.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like kind of an easy weekend, to be honest with you. I don't know what the hell you guys were thinking, but... Wow. Sorry, that's not often I get to do that.
Wow.
Not often I get to do that, so I got to take my chance. Let's see here. So first up at noon on Sunday, it's the Commanders at the Eagles. Philadelphia currently 6-point favorites. Weather doesn't look to be much of a factor in either game. Like, it's not going to be super warm or super cold. Both games are going to be, looks like in the 30s with some sunny skies and a few clouds. With Jalen Hurts and that knee, we don't know how it is. Look, I still expect it. Saquon Barkley is going to rush for somewhere between 150 and 200 yards, I have a feeling. But it just depends on what else Jalen Hurts can do. And we saw, I shared with you guys a stat earlier today that in the playoffs, the Philadelphia Eagles are 4-0 when Jalen Hurts throws for under 155 yards. When he throws for 155 or more, they are 0-3. So let's look for Jalen Hurts to go for about 200 yards, and I'm going to take Washington plus 6. I think Jaden Daniels has just got he's got something plucky in him. I'm going with the commies here.
Wow. With the commies. All right, go
Red
ahead,
scare.
Sir. Go ahead, sir.
I am as well. I am going to take, remember, the Commanders are plus 6 on the road in Philadelphia. That makes them a road dog. Look, there is an unprecedented thing happening right now. The Commanders have won 4 straight road games.
What?
With a rookie quarterback.
With a rook.
That is insane considering the implications that were on the line week out. They will go for an unprecedented 5th. Give me that left hand up, the Commanders.
All right. Wait, what is
have
that?
Have you not
mean?
Seen the video?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The you've got Horse Kid for the Colts. There's like a rap video. Yeah. Left hand up, the commander. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. So bad.
Oh, boy.
I'll give it to you in the break.
I don't know. I think I'm good. I think I'm good without it.
No.
You're
going to get it.
No, especially with the way that you phrased that. All right. I'm going to go. Look, I want to go with Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
But run the damn ball. It is very important. And
run the ball.
I think we're going to see the over in this game. So I'm going to go over 47 and a half. And I'm going to take the over of 47 and a half in this game. I think that is a... I don't feel good either way. 6 points, a lot of points, though. 6 points, a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. A
lot of points. But I'm going to go 47 and a half over. Ooh. In this one. I think we're going to get...
Offense still going to be there, huh?
Well, yeah. And think about 47 and a half points.
It's not that much.
No. Especially with the way that both these teams are playing right now. So if you get like a 28 to 20 game... I can see that game playing out that way.
The Commanders are a Jurassic Park version of Life Finds a Way.
Yeah.
And that's their offense.
If you want to go back here, these two teams played just a few weeks ago, and the Commanders did win 36-33.
And you can talk about how Jalen Hurts didn't play, blah, 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 blah. Jalen Hurts isn't on defense.
Jalen Hurts not on defense.
So.
And better than Kenny Pickett, though. Oof. And Saquon went for $150 on the ground. I feel good about them being able to run the football. I'm just going to go with the over and bank on points there.
I like it. Jeff Rust, game number two.
Yiffy.
Yeah, so Kansas City, they are favored 1.5 at home. This one is tough just because... Look, Kansas City hasn't looked like the Kansas City they have of the years past, but they still went, 15-2 on the regular season and only losing in week 18 because they didn't play anybody because they didn't have to. Still, somehow, this feels like a special season for me with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go take my second road dog and take Buffalo plus 1.5.
Love to see it. What's interesting here is, do you know what Jeff Rust just did?
What did he do?
He just took himself out of the running of being the only one of us to pick a team to go to the Super Bowl correctly this year.
Oh.
Because our Super Bowl picks, Rust had Chiefs over Niners, I had Ravens over Lions, and you had Lions over Bengals.
I mean, this was also in September.
What? I know, I'm just saying. Yeah. But you just picked against the one team that you had remaining here. That's all I'm saying.
You know.
Just happened.
You gotta evolve, man.
Golly.
Yeah, when we go revisit some of these picks, we're there's gonna be some stuff for sure.
Yikes.
One of us may or may not have picked the Cowboys to win the NFC East.
No, I didn't.
Well, and again, I picked the 49ers in the Super Bowl, so you know, I'm a big dummy too.
I picked them as a wild card team.
Oh, okay.
And remember, they're my last wild card team. Yeah, I picked the Eagles to win the division.
I am also going to take the Bills plus 1.5 as a road dog. Look, I've been riding the Bills pretty much this whole season. I wanted to see a Bills-Lions Super Bowl when it became evident that that was a possibility down the stretch. I'm not going to change. I'm going with my heart, my head, everything else between. Screw the Chiefs.
Chiefs honk, you can rest easy. Because all of us are picking the Bills, which means the Chiefs are going to win. Yep. I'm taking the road dog, too. And I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills. I think they're going to win the game. So I'm going to take that 1.5. I'm going to go Bills plus 1.5 on the road in Arrowhead. So Chiefs, it's okay. We're all picking against Kansas City, which means they are definitely going to win.
There you go. Our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks of the season.
God,
Dusty sitting at 40-22-4. I'm 40-24-2. Jeff Rust, 35-27-3. All of us still...
How do I... Ties, man.
Yeah, you got four of them.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pushes.
Yeah, I know what Rust is doing right now. Just give him time.
Yeah, I
know.
I got to get there. It takes me a while. There's too many damn pages.
Pushing real good?
Oh, well, not that one, bud.
I kissed my sister twice.
Four times.
Yeah.
Four times now.
There or two times two.
God.
So it was two double kisses.
So gross.
It happens.
So gross. Hey, you know what? That's why I'm not taking the Commanders. That's an even number right now.
Oh, yeah. It's easier push.
You guys have fun kissing your sister.
I'll go with it.
I'm not. Give me a hook.
Look. Coming up next. Now we will dive into.
Point.
There you go. we will dive into the impact player, non-quarterback. Which player is going to have the biggest impact this weekend outside of the quarterbacks? Coming up next on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It is championship weekend, and there's no shortage of storylines. Bills Chiefs features the rematch of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Lord knows we've seen those teams duel it out.
Yeah.
You give a third-time matchup, a divisional matchup, and the redemption story of the Washington Commanders post-Daniel Snyder, the rookie ascendancy of Jaden Daniels, the Eagles trying to get maybe a bit of a redemption tour as well.
Sad Dan Snyder is something I would love.
I mean, the Commanders going to the Super Bowl and winning would be...
Like, seeing Dan Snyder on his mega yacht, just sad, shoving his face full of... caviar, just like all dejected. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside of him being
Josh Harris is on the same boat, on another boat, like right next to him, partying.
Yeah, that'd
Josh
be
Harris,
great.
Owner of the Commanders.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But as much as those quarterback storylines matter, what are the non-quarterback storylines? Because ultimately, yes, quarterback's the most important position in sports. But a lot of times in these games, it's the non-quarterbacks that end up being the things that separate.
Yeah, for the Eagles, it's easy, right? It's Saquon Barkley. Yeah. I mean, Saquon Barkley he's been this motor that's been revving up all season long. He's been so damn good. And the offensive line is elite. Kellen Moore gets a lot of flack for his play calling, but when it comes time to win in time, they have been putting the ball in Saquon Barkley's hands, and he has been outstanding. So Saquon Barkley is an easy one for me for Philly because that's where it starts and stops. I mean, he is probably more important for this run in this team right now, especially with the health issues that Jalen Hurts is going with that left knee injury of this Eagles offense. He's more important than Jalen Hurts is right now.
I'd argue that that's always been the case this season. Saquon is the most important part of that team.
Yeah.
I know I'm a quote-unquote Jalen hater, but there's also, I think, some truth to it, particularly with what the stat that Rust had about them being winless when he throws for over 155 yards. Now, part of that is because they're so dominant running the ball that he doesn't have to throw the ball.
Well, and when you're losing, you're going to throw more. But 155 is not a big number.
No, and that's the thing is, I think when you have to lean on him, which honestly is probably the biggest reason other than like the fun factor of taking the Commanders, is I think if the Commanders can score, you're going to make Jalen Hurts have to throw the ball, and it may devalue Saquon Barkley.
See, and that would be where things kind of fall apart with Nick Sirianni as the head coach. And I'm not just going to put this solely on Kellen Moore because it was before Kellen Moore as well. So it's Sirianni and Kellen Moore. Their play calling at times, it's like they get into a game that becomes high scoring, and it's like, we need to throw the football. No, you don't. No, you don't. Just keep running the damn ball. It doesn't matter. You can make up 7 or even 10 points in the NFL. If you control the line of scrimmage and you run the ball, you're going to have plenty of time to do it. That is a big issue, is that sometimes they do get kind of stuck in that trap of, well, they took a shot, we're going to take one too. No, you don't have to do that. You do not have to do that. You could just stick to who you are and
it's allowed.
Let your identity shine through. And I hope they do that this week. But it is easy for the Eagles with Saquon. On the other side of it, for the Commanders, dude, I can't believe we're still talking about this, but he has been absolutely outstanding. It's Bobby Wagner. It's Bobby Wagner because of the importance of Saquon Barkley, because of the importance of where they're going to try to throw the football to guys like Dallas Goedert or crossers across the middle to Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. It's Bobby Wagner in the middle, kind of making sure everybody is set. He's 34 years old. He has 95 tackles. He's just, Bobby Wagner was like, he's probably washed up in Seattle. No, he's not. He went to LA. He went back to Seattle. And now he's in Washington. He's still doing the damn thing.
You want a crazy stat on him?
Yes.
The only player with more snaps than him in this game is Jaden Daniels.
That's crazy.
He has played 1,187 snaps this season.
And he has been so.
That means he doesn't leave the field. Situationally, that man is on the field, running downs, passing downs, short yardage. It does not matter. Specialty situations, he does not leave the field.
Bobby Wagner has. Hall of Famer. I don't know how.
Hall of Famer.
Absolutely is a Hall of Famer. But I do not. I truly don't understand how Bobby Wagner continues to do it when so many guys fall off a cliff, so many guys will get hurt. He just continues to find a way to stay healthy, be effective.
Especially
his size. 95 tackles. He's
not a small linebacker.
Monster, but he's going to be of the utmost importance. Look, you're going to have to play to stalemate as much as you can against one of the best offensive lines, if not the best offensive line in the best offensive line remaining in the playoffs for sure of these final four teams is the Philadelphia Eagles. It goes Eagles, Lions, best offensive line. I don't care which one you want to take. You can make the argument for either one of those. Okay. Those two are like head and shoulders above everybody else as far as units on the offensive line. And then you get into your Denvers and whatever, but we're not going to argue about that. It is right now that Eagles O-line is so damn good. You're going to have to play to a stalemate as much as you can. So the linebackers are going to be a huge factor in this game for Washington. And Bobby Wagner is the one guy in that middle of that defense that can be the hammer, but also be the calming force. So Bobby Wagner, for me, outside of Jaden Daniels, the most important person to this Commanders team if they're going to win.
I'm going with maybe a little bit of a stranger one. I'm splitting it between both their tackles, between Coleman and Wiley, depending on who's going to end up being out there and starting. And that's because if they can protect Jaden Daniels, we have seen what he can do down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter that he doesn't have a million weapons. Terry McLaurin, Scary Terry, has been fantastic, but He's gone to Ertz. He's gone to Robinson. He's gone wherever he needs to go with the ball to make a play. But you've got to give him the time or the room to step up. And the Eagles put a ton of pressure on guys. And I think it's a more ubiquitous thing. And I think the singular player, you're right, is Bobby Wagner. But they're not going to win on their defense. They're going to win on just hanging point after point after point after point. Because the thing that they're weakest at...
They cannot get run all over
them. No, and you're right. But if they are, if they limit explosives, which is easier said than done against the Eagles, particularly in the running game. But if Jalen Hurts is obviously banged up, he's not going to be probably as much of a factor. Saquon is a little bit easier to deal with if you don't also have to account for the plus one with Jalen Hurts. But if they can continue to put the pressure on the Eagles so they can't run the ball, that's where I think keeping Jaden clean and those tackles are the most important non-quarterbacks in the game.
The AFC game was a little bit tougher for me because, man, you want to talk about where this game comes down to. It's going to be...
There's a lot of guys.
It's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, and those two are the juggernauts. And for me, like, I was looking at Buffalo, and I'm like, boy, the importance of Matt Milano and how good he has been in limited games, right? That dude coming back from injury, missing a whole chunk of the season, how good he has been. Milano, it came down to me to Matt Milano and Taron Johnson. And I ended up going with Taron Johnson, who's their nickel corner, because Buffalo has really found something when they go to nickel and they have the ability to put Taron Johnson on either the tight end or the slot in the middle. And Matt Milano was a guy who he's going to have to account for Travis Kelce in coverage at times. But Taron Johnson, to me, is going to be the guy where he's going to be that Swiss Army knife equalizer, because where does Patrick Mahomes kill teams, right? It's not just over the top. It's with, they'll run the quick screens to Xavier Worthy. They'll run, you know, the sit routes and option routes to Travis Kelce and in the slot. To me, I think Taron Johnson at that nickel corner being that guy who's in the slot and in that area, just kind of having to hover and then take on Travis Kelce one-on-one, he's going to have to be huge for Buffalo. So I'm going Taron Johnson. And that is predicated on, like, Greg Rousseau and Von Miller have got a cage Mahomes and make sure he doesn't have all that time to scramble and get to the edge. And their edges have been really good. And the idea that we talked about this last year with Von Miller, that they were going to put him on a snap count throughout the course of the year to try to get him right for the playoffs. Well, they didn't afford themselves the opportunity to do that last year. This year they have.
316.
He's been really damn good in crunch time. Yeah. And when it's winning time, Von Miller has been really good. Him and Rousseau, it goes without saying, they've got to be the guys that kind of keep Mahomes in so he can't extend the plays that he likes to do. But it's Taron Johnson for me for Buffalo.
I'm going to go with maybe one that's lesser expected in James Cook in the playoffs. Ooh, so far, cookie. Or actually, I would say the last 5 weeks, the Bills have almost a 60% run rate with almost a 50% success rate, which are both bonkers numbers. So everybody talks about the Eagles, and rightfully they should, because they have the big explosives. But the Bills have been the most efficient in methodically marching the ball down the field. Like, if you look at some
of
their drives,
he's been really damn good too.
And Cook has been like, Josh Allen is the spice that makes it all work. But Cook has been methodical, and he's been reliable. And it's just in a season where you're like, who's going to step up? Tim, for me, is the guy that's going to be that thing that can keep things off balance. And on the flip side for the Chiefs, it's Chris Jones, because he can be the guy that does take Cook out of the game, that does take Josh Allen out of the game, the plus one in the run. His disruptibility in the pocket, on the edges, what you have to account for with him. It feels like every single championship game and Super Bowl this bleeping team is in. Yes, Mahomes and Kelce. This guy ends up being one of the biggest, if not the biggest, non-quarterback factor across the game.
I'm going George Karlaftis, because he's got to bend that edge, and he's got to keep Josh Allen in, but he's also got to bring Josh Allen down.
It's tough.
And Karlaftis, again, when it comes time, Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, those are two guys that end up making big plays in crucial situations. And I think Karlaftis, Drew Tranquil is going to have his hands full too, because you're going to have, just as we were talking about with the tight end game and Dallas Goedert of Philly and Bobby Wagner kind of being that guy, Drew Tranquil has got to account for Dalton Kincaid. He's got to account for crossers and run game. I was going to go Tranquil, but it's George Karloftis for me. Bending the edge, be the guy that comes up with those. In how many critical plays did he come up with in their last game, too? I mean, gets home, brings down C.J. Stroud. Play after play, Karloftis is just a disruptor. He's got to have to be that guy. He's got to get home a couple of times against Josh Allen. What, he had two sacks last week, I think. Three. He had three last week against Houston. Three sacks and four pressures. That's a pretty damn good day at the office for George Karloftis. And if you look at what he has done over the last handful of games, it's like he's just heating up more and more as the season's gone on. I got George Karloftis being that guy for me.
So you go. Those are the picks for the biggest impact non-quarterbacks heading into championship weekend. Come in next. It's a listicle. I like a little listicle action, particularly as we're talking about where football is going and the importance of the quarterback position. The 10 most prominent quarterbacks returning to college football.
This was a wild list.
Yeah, because when you start looking at it, you go, huh. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports and Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
On3 Sports released their top 10 quarterbacks returning to college football or in college football next year. Their impact top 10 quarterbacks. Number one's a bit of a surprise. I'm not upset by it. It's just quite the meteoric rise. Arizona State's Sam Leavitt, West Lynn's own
Sam Leavitt. I might not be as surprised.
He's currently a top five in the yet-to-be-released Heisman 2025 season, but the preseason ones. He's top five in odds, which is kind of impressive.
Leavitt, in that system with Kenny Dillingham, another year under Kenny Dillingham, another year to learn that offense. I think right now, what Dillingham's doing in Tempe is like everybody was saying, sleeping giant for decades while they were in the Pac-12. They may not become a giant, but they're finally living up to what some of the expectations are, which is he is a really damn good coach. He is a pit bull recruiting, and they're doing a really good job of recruiting.
And they identify what they need and what they like.
And with Sam Leavitt, I think that the next year is going to be more of the onus is on him because no Cam Scataboo. He's going to be asked to do more. And you saw flashes where he can do that, man. Mm-hmm. And he is going to be a really good quarterback. But I think if you just look at this list in him being at the top, it kind of just tells you where quarterback play in college football is at right now.
And it's dropped off a little bit.
It goes in these waves, right? Where you need the young guys to grow. And I think that as you look at Sam Leavitt and you say team success was up. We saw progression of him growing over the course of a season.
Drastically.
I think that him being near the top is, all right, the team's going to be good. We're expecting a step forward from him. But to be number one, bit of a surprise, especially when you look at some of the guys that are below him that very easily could have been up
you
there.
You have a former number one overall recruit in Cade Klubnik at number eight. I mean, Arch Manning was the number two quarterback in his class.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some – DJ Lagway was the number two or number three quarterback in his class.
Well, I mean, if you just go through this list, number one is Leavitt. Drew Aller at Penn State is number two.
Which is insane to me. Insane to me. I think you can make an argument that literally every quarterback on this list has more potential and is better than him.
Some people, for some reason – still buying it, but
I don't get it. But
look, I see the same mistakes over and over again. That's where I go. I don't know if we're going to see that growth. Now, if Andy Kotelnicki in year two under Kotelnicki, you could see him taking a step forward. I just don't see that being number two.
I see Christian Hackenberg 2.0.
Number three is DJ Lagway, we saw him with Billy Napier. It was an upward trajectory. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a damn good quarterback. I'm really excited for him.
Physical freak. Like, there's some stuff there.
Arch Manning is at four. And look, there's it's not as easy as what everybody was saying as well.
Pedigree and...
Well, Quinn Ewers was promised by Sark, and Sark wanted to just anchor down and say, I'm not going to be wrong. I'm going to continue to develop Quinn Ewers. No, there was... If Steve Sarkisian, of all people, where... He was at USC, where they had damn good quarterbacks there, and they weren't afraid to say, no, take a seat. We're going to play the guy who gives us a better chance to win. When you have a national championship on the line, mm-hmm. you are going to play the better quarterback. Not, oh, we're going to stick to my guns, let my pride win. That wasn't what was happening with
yours. Is, look, for all of yours' faults, he's a very good college quarterback.
But Arch Manning wasn't better than him. No. Okay?
Could he be?
We need to be there.
Will he be? Probably.
But then there's nothing wrong with a guy waiting, growing, and waiting his turn behind somebody. But a lot of people just said, Arch Manning's better than Quinn Ewers. No, he's not. They would have played him if they felt that way. And they saw him every single day.
Because the locker room wouldn't have allowed it.
Lenoris Sellers, who I love, is at five. Mm-hmm. He could be number one.
Yeah.
South Carolina quarterback. Sellers is a dude.
Yeah.
And I love Lenoris Sellers. So he's at five. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU. Again.
Coming back after a subpar season when he was supposed to be a potential first-round pick.
Could be a guy, though.
Yep.
I mean, he could be a guy that takes a massive step forward.
Big dude, big arm, all those things.
Carson Beck is at seven.
Eef.
You know they led the country in drops?
Yeah, no, look, their wide receiver core.
Like, there's a thing with Joel
not
Klatt.
Not good.
Joel Klatt has, on his podcast, he went, where do you want him to hit you? The hands? You want him to put in the hands again?
Yeah.
Like, it was
no Ladd McConkey, no Brock Bowers.
It was not all Carson Beck that went wrong. It was, I think, like, he gets a little bit of the Eli thing where when they pan to him on the sidelines and he's just given the blank stare, it's like, all right, people aren't going to like a blank stare on the sidelines. But he was good. And going to Miami, they're going to have skills. He's going to be in a lesser conference mm-hmm. than he was playing in the SEC. He'll put up numbers. Cade Klubnik at eight, Clemson quarterback.
He had that diabolical first game of the season. And after that,
yeah,
he was really good.
John Mateer is at nine, the Oklahoma quarterback, transfer from Washington State. He can run the ball really
well. He's a gamer.
But at Oklahoma, they're going to go through this. In that they need an adjustment because they had such high level quarterback play for over 20 years.
Oh, they need to get a quarterback who can throw the ball?
Well, this is they need to adjust to when you run the air buckle offense. Mm-hmm. It ain't going to be what you saw from Bob Stoops or from Lincoln Riley.
No,
they need to adjust to life after.
There's no Kylers. There's no Calebs. There's no.
He can run
Dylan Gabriel's.
He can run the football.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing was Jackson Arnold. Jackson Arnold was a guy who could run the ball.
Yeah.
But they were hoping he could throw it. Turns out, couldn't.
And then at number 10 is Nico Iamaleava.
There you go.
Iamaleava.
Remember, the vowels.
Yeah. From Tennessee.
He had such
a great freshman year. Yeah, that dude is going to be special.
He's the one on this list that could easily go number one.
Flip this
yes.
at the end of the year and say, all right, there it is.
6 foot six, 240 pounds, freak athlete, huge arm. Like all of the raw talent stuff is there. Can he put it together? Because this is Anthony Richardson all over again. But stay in school and learn how to play the game.
Yeah. But what I find interesting of this top 10 list, there's three schools that you expect to see on this list, but aren't, especially with the level of quarterback play they've had over the last handful of years. Mm-hmm. No Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
On three has Julian Sayin, who's waiting in the wings. They have him at 25 at Ohio State. Jane Maiava at USC is at 23.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante Moore, not in the top 25 of quarterbacks in the country. And you can see why. He had 1 year at UCLA. He took a step back and ate his pride, went to Oregon to redshirt this past year, and he's not there. This is going to be an interesting year for quarterback play in college football because we look at the NFL teams right now in preparing for the draft, and there's no clear-cut number one. I don't think you look at next year's class and you have that heading into 2025 either because you had that idea over the last handful of years, who those quarterbacks were going to be. There's always going to be guys that just vault up boards
sure.
and end up being top 10, top 11 picks like J.J. McCarthy mm-hmm. or Michael Penix Jr., who yep. everybody's like, he's good, but how good is
yeah.
he? But he turned into a really damn special yeah. in his final year at UW. Bo Nix did the same thing at Oregon. People weren't looking at Bo Nix being a guy who's going to be an NFL quarterback. Well, his last year at Oregon was really damn good, and his first year in the NFL was even better.
Dylan Raiola is the one on this list where I'm like, yeah, five-star kid with all the tools.
Let's He's at 23 at Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
23rd at Nebraska. And
I could see him vaulting up that list pretty easily.
Matt Rhule, it's going to start being winning time there, mm-hmm. too, because they have no patience in Nebraska. But it feels like they are on the upward trajectory, yeah, too.
For sure. So just a little interesting inflection point.
Quarterback play is going to be interesting to watch, mm-hmm, over the next couple of years in, yeah, college football.
And it's nice to have these, like, in February to be like, okay, let's see where – it's not a something it's the end-all be-all. But
take a note.
Yeah, just like, okay, let's see where we are after spring ball. Let's see where we are after summer ball. And then as we get ready to get into the season. All right, come up next. What a nice little bow on today's show with a little bit of Blazers news as they get ready to take on the Orlando Magic here in just a little bit more than an hour. Danny and Dusty, 10 the Fan. Pulling Trailblazers to take on the Orlando Magic here in about an hour. They will be without DeAndre Ayton. Anthony Simons is a go. Franz Wagner, hey, making his return after a 20-game absence due to a torn oblique, back for the Magic tonight.
You know, that is crazy how long he has been out with that oblique injury and how good he was before he got hurt.
Him and Paulo, same injury.
The other one, though, and we just got an update last week, was the Chet Holmgren injury in Oklahoma City.
He might be back soon.
Yeah, where they are saying they're going to reevaluate him in, what, another month, mm-hmm, right? But trending in the right way for a big guy to have, what is it, a femur?
He was a fractured hip.
Fractured hip.
Yeah, it was like a spiral fracture, like not a full break. Kind
whatever
of
it is. Big, big human being healing.
Yeah.
That is huge for OKC. And that's how good that team is.
Mm-hmm. Like
they've
done this without Chet.
Barely lost a
former number two overall pick.
Oh, man. But Blazers, Franz Wagner going to have some rust? Hopefully they...
They're 7.5-point favorites. The Magic, not the Blazers. Don't get
I was going to say, that is not right. All right. Well, we'll be back tomorrow, Football Friday. We'll break down Conference Championship Weekend. Mm. Up next is 4 hours of power from their mouths to yours. Primetime with Isaac and Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
God, I love the early tips. It's just a tip.